Hey, this is Pastor Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. I know God has a word for you today. I hope you really hear it deep down in your spirit. I pray you feel encouraged and inspired to keep chasing Jesus with all you've got. If you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now let's get to the message.
We're back. So honored to be with you guys today. We started a series called Billboards 2 weeks ago. Pastor Ryan and I preached the first message of it. Last week being online, we kind of varied from that a little bit. Pastor Ryan had an awesome message. Don't forget, if you've missed any of them, they're all on the podcast. You can catch them on there. But we talked about, does the billboard of your life attract or repel other people to Jesus? Billboards are meant to be seen from an outside perspective, and they let people know what's coming up, right? We gave the, you know, McDonald's billboards, and then you've got, like, Bucky's, and there's some funny ones out there, and there's some that, that we talked about Chick-fil-A, eat more chicken, the cows. Like, you see a cow that says eat more chicken, it doesn't even have to have the Chick-fil-A logo because you know what it is for, right? So a billboard tells you what something is about, what's coming up, and you know things by their billboards. Yep. Your life, all aspects of life, are a reflection of your faith. Your words reveal what's in your heart. Your actions, they confirm or deny the words that come from your mouth. And then your outlook on life points to your hope for the future. Either you're full of hope because you know how your story ends, or you're trapped because you don't trust the one who holds your future. Yep. Usually that's because if it's not Jesus, that responsibility falls on you, and we're all failed, flawed human beings. Yep. Every part of life is a reflection of your faith. And people see your faith or lack of faith on display every single day. Our billboards can either attract people to us or away from us, and in turn, either attract people to Jesus or away from him. Now, the purpose of this series is to really take a self-evaluation and spiritual evaluation to discover where your priorities lie. Are you growing? Do you resemble a disciple?
Good question.
Are you more focused on what people think of you, or what people think of him? So last week we learned that for our billboard to give the right message, we have to first strive to be like Jesus. So today I want to talk to you about how authenticity in our walk paints the picture of our billboard as either a follower of Jesus or an imitator, or in other words, a hypocrite. So why be authentic? Why should our billboard show authenticity? We struggle with being authentic because image is everything. Many times, it lulls us into a place of comfort where we're deceived into thinking we are true disciples. We have been trained to put on our church face even when our world is crumbling around us. Our image becomes more important than anything. Is what you present to the world more important than your personal, private relationship with Jesus? The Bible cries out for authentic believers. The world desires authentic people. Be who you claim to be. They want to see real people. There are too many people that say they're Christian, but they live their lives in a way that doesn't represent Jesus. Jesus desires our heart, and he desires all of it, not just parts of it. We must be willing to ask ourselves hard questions like, is my faith genuine and authentic, or am I putting on a show? Okay, y'all, I'm a bargain shopper, first of all. Like, I don't pay full price for anything, okay? I've gotten a lot of compliments on my skirt. I got it for $11 on Amazon, okay? I don't pay full price for anything. But also, like, I love a good dupe. So a dupe is like a duplicate, like a cheaper version of an expensive thing, right? So like Lululemon's a big thing right now, and there's a lot of Lululemon dupes out there that you can get on Amazon or even at like Walmart, Sam's Club. Y'all, I get a lot of clothes at Sam's Club and Costco. Don't be sleeping on them, okay? But there's a lot of good dupes out there. There's even Nike dupes. I love my Nikes, y'all, but you can get Nike dupes. There's this website or this app called DHgate, and you can like get shoes that look like Nikes from the store until you get real close, right? Like if you are looking for a bargain on something, come talk to me, okay? Okay, like Walmart has even stepped up their game. Y'all, we were at a wedding rehearsal dinner. And I had on this dress that I got on the clearance rack at Walmart because I was talking to Tam earlier today and I was like, girl, I don't even pay full price at Walmart. Like, I buy off their clearance rack. Right. And I had this dress that was real cute that I got on the clearance rack at Walmart. And this lady came up to me. She was a relative of the bride that I had never met. And she was like, girl, I love your dress. And it was the exact same dress she had on, just a different print. Like, literally, it looked identical, okay? And she was like, I haven't seen that print at Anthropology. And I was like, that's because mine's from Walmart. Clearance rack, actually. I paid a lot less for mine than you did for yours, I'm sure. But, and like, I have no shame in my game either. I'll tell you right up. Like,
That's my girl.
Yeah, okay? I'm just saying. But I love myself a good dupe. Also, like, you know, you can get, like, designer handbags that, like, are real, right? And so, one time, Ryan, I mean, pulled an amazing surprise for me for my 30th birthday that was a number of years ago that we won't discuss. He took me to New York. Like, literally, we had no money at that time. He sold stuff on Facebook, hid every post from me, had his dad buy the plane tickets, like, plan this trip because I always wanted to go to New York City. Well, so we're in New York, and like, you know, they're selling these knockoff designer handbags everywhere, which is, like, really illegal. And if you know me, I'm a rule follower, and I'm really scared of getting in trouble. And so, like, I've been wanting one of these, and I was like, just buy one. It's $30 for a purse that looks like a designer handbag. Just buy yourself a purse. And so, like, there's this guy, I'll never forget. I can still see it. I was so nervous. I think I broke out in, like, stress hives because I was like, I'm going to get arrested. And so we're buying. This guy has this big black trash bag full of purses, and I'm, like, digging through as fast as I can trying to find one. And, like, I get it, and he, like, puts it in this other black trash bag for me to buy it. And, like, we're walking away, and I'm, like, stripping the trash bag off, and I'm, like, getting, like, thrown away and put my other purse in it because, like, I'm not going to get caught buying this fake handbag, y'all. I am not going to jail in New York City. But all that to say, even the fake things, when you get real close, don't look real.
Yep.
Come on, girl.
You see, I'm all about, like, I got a purse that kind of looks like, could be a designer handbag. I got it at a Hobby Lobby. If you look real close, you can tell it's not the designer handbag, okay? It was like $12 at Hobby Lobby. I added my own strap to it that made it look fancier, okay? But you look real close, you can tell that it's not. Because you can spot a fake the closer you get.
Come on now.
That's good.
Come on now.
That's why authenticity in your walk with Jesus is so important. Because the closer you get to someone, you can tell when it's just for show. I've been there. I'm losing my mic. I might need help. It's cutting out. I don't know. But I've been there, y'all. I've played church. There's songs that literally say, raise your hand. And you know, everyone raises their hand at that moment. Like, I've played church. And so,
You sound fine.
I know that it happens. I know that it happens all the time in churches across the world. But that's why it's so important now more than ever in a world that's looking for people to be real, to be authentic in your walk with Jesus. I want to take us to the book of Amos today. When I told Ryan I was going in Amos, he was like, oh, okay. So Amos, if you want to go ahead and turn to Amos 4:4, that's where we're going to start reading. But I want to give you a little history first. Okay, so God in the Old Testament is all about relationship and covenant, how to restore humanity through the people of Israel. So Amos is a prophet, and the role of a prophet was, it was an Israelite who had a radical encounter with God's presence. They're then commissioned to speak on God's behalf. They're representative of God. The thing they cared about the most was the mutual partnership that existed between God and the Israelites. God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt. We went through Exodus not that long ago, and we learned about God rescuing Israel. He rescued them and invited them to become a nation of justice and generosity that would represent his character to the nations. This partnership was called the covenant. It required all Israelites to give their trust and allegiance to their God alone. But they were led astray and they broke the covenant. That's where the prophets came in. They were to remind Israel of their role in this partnership. And they did that in three ways. The first way was that they accused Israel for violating the terms of this covenant. So they said, hey, you're breaking this covenant right now. Charges usually included idolatry, alliances with other nations and their gods, and injustice towards the poor. They were called. Then the second way that the prophets were used is they were called them to repent or to turn around and make a change. They spoke of God's mercy to forgive them if they would just confess and change their ways. But Israel and their leaders didn't change. Then the prophets, they announced the consequences for breaking the covenant. The day of the Lord. The prophets explained how God would bring justice on Israel and their corruption and the nations around them. Prophets were a minority group and they were mostly shunned by Israel's leaders, and most people ignored them, thought they were kind of crazy until their warnings came true in the Babylonian exile. So that's just a little history on where Amos falls here. There are 15 books of prophets. There's 3 major and 12 minor, and Amos is one of the 12 minor prophets. All of the books of the prophets are stories that the prophets told in their poems and their visions, and it's all arranged to show the meaning of Israel's history. How God would turn their tragic story of failure and exile into a story of hope and restoration for all nations. So Amos 1 through 2 is messages to the nations around Israel and Israel. And Amos accuses all of the neighboring nations. But then when he's done, Israel is right in the center. And he creates of this circle that he created basically in his accusations. And he unleashes poetic accusations on Israel. He accuses Israel's wealthy of ignoring the poor and allowing the poor to be sold into debt slavery, and then going on to deny any of those people legal representation. He goes back and asks, are you not the people group that God rescued from slavery? And you're denying people justice? You were once denied justice. The people group, are you not the people group that God rescued from oppression? He says, God's done putting up with it. And so that's where we are in Amos 4:4. Okay? So Amos 4:4. Go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering and brag about your free will offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the sovereign Lord. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Then I want to jump to Amos 5:21. I hate, I despise your religious feast. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. away with the noise of your songs. I will listen to the music. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestals of your idols, and the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. That seems like a lot, right? But what's happening here is God is saying that he chose Israel from all the people on the earth. And they didn't choose him back. And this is why he's punishing them for their sin. Israel had a great calling and a great responsibility, so their sin and rebellion brings great consequences. Amos is constantly exposing the religious hypocrisy of Israel's wealthy and their leaders. He describes how they faithfully attend their religious gatherings. They go to church. They give offering. They give their sacrifices to the Lord, all while neglecting the poor and ignoring injustice. Their worship is a sham, and God hates it because it's totally disconnected from how they treat people. You see, a relationship with God will transform all other relationships in your life. Amos's true call to worship comes in 5:24. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. You see, these two words are super important to Amos and all the prophets. We hear it a lot in the prophets. And righteousness refers to a standard of right, equitable relationship between people, no matter their social differences. And justice refers to concrete actions you take to correct injustice and create righteousness. Both of these are to permeate God's covenant people like rushing streams that fill dry riverbeds. It applies to us today just as much as it did to them back then, though. You see, where it all went wrong was appearance versus the heart. You see, when we'd rather look the part than be genuine. The people thought that if they maintained their appearance of godliness, he would still bless them. But it was always about their heart. They were going through the motions. I can continue to give God my leftovers, is what they were saying, and expect his best, even though I'm not giving him my best. They were singing songs, they were bringing offerings, but then they were taking the foreign gods of the land into their homes, and they were oppressing the poor. They were enslaving people, which is exactly what God had rescued them from. They wanted the blessing without the sacrifice of their life. They took the grace of God for granted, and they didn't believe their actions had to line up with their speech. Somewhere along the way, they had kept the appearance of being godly, but forgotten about the relationship with the Father. So I have a couple questions for you today. One is your life in Christ authentic, or is it a show? Are you going through the motions? Has your Christian walk become an act in your life? Do you go to church to check off the box? Do you serve because it makes you look good? No. Do you tithe because you think it gives you a right to have a voice? Are you passionate about God? You see, authentic defined is resembling an original. So is your faith truly authentic? Does it resemble the originator of our faith?
That, right there, yeah.
How's your attitude? Are you cynical, bitter, critical of everything and everyone around you? Do you feel empty and discontent, like there's something more? See, we have to look at, are we in the process of becoming more like Christ? Is this our life goal?
I found this on the web.
Somehow Siri thought I was talking to her.
What
are you gonna say? It's fine. We got there. Are we in the process of becoming more like Christ? Is this our life goal and objective, or is it an extracurricular activity?
That's a great question.
Because if your relationship with Jesus has become an extracurricular activity, and it is not the first priority of your life, you're not being very authentic. Question number two, are there idols in your life? What are you worshiping? Have you, like the Israelites, adopted foreign idols and brought them into your home? You see, an idol is anything that you put before God.
Right.
Y'all, America is full of idols. Each and every one of our houses are full of idols. There are things being put before God in all of our lives. But have you really looked at your relationship with God? You see, God knows we're never going to be perfect because we are flawed human beings. He's not asking us to be perfect, and he's not expecting us to never mess up because we are humans, fallen short. But what he is asking us is to strive day after day to be more like Jesus. And if your walk with God is not bringing you closer to being more like Jesus, you're doing it wrong. You see, our billboard of our life paints a picture. And just like some of those dupes I talked about earlier, some of our billboards look pretty good from far away.
Yeah, so good.
But as you get closer, the picture starts getting clearer. As you get closer, you know how billboards have like those ledges on them? As you get closer, you can see things like kind of on a fireplace mantle stacked up that are things that you've put before God. And those are the things, as people get closer to you, that they see. So, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." Church, we're called for more.
Yes, we are.
We're called to be set apart. Your form is your outward appearance, and it's really easy to put up facades and masks and disguises. It's really easy.
Yeah, it is.
But remember, authentic defined means resembling an original. So our authentic walk with God should be our lifelong attempt to look more like Jesus.
Good.
It's easy to get caught up in the facades and the criticism and the questions and routine and lose sight of what truly matters. Galatians 1:10, though, says, "Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant."
Yeah.
You see, when we engage in authentic relationship with Jesus, my behavior will not be dictated by my environment. My desire to please God will override my desire to please others. My actions will begin to line up with my confessions of faith. I will realize that life is not about me. We live in a world that tells you all the time, like, you do you. Self-care is important, but not when you put it above God.
Right.
Come on now.
Your self-care should be digging deeper into an authentic relationship with Jesus.
Amen. So good.
Your choice of what you put on your billboard is yours. Ryan and I, we can't paint your billboard for you. We can't. It's your choice of how you walk out your faith day to day. And yes, we all mess up. Y'all, I mess up. Pastor Ryan messes up. We're pretty transparent. Like, we don't ever claim to be perfect, because we're not. But the thing is, when you mess up, it should be a stumble to where you reach for the Savior to help you up to keep going. It shouldn't be a stumble that takes you and those around you down. Worship team, can I have y'all come back up? I want to tell you guys a story. And it's a story, honestly, a lot of you have probably heard. It's from the Bible. It's a story about the rich young ruler. It's found in Mark 10, 17 through 22, if you want to look it up for yourself. But I want to tell you this story. So Jesus and his disciples are heading out to Jerusalem. And this man comes running up and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus starts listing off the commandments, and the man says, "Well, I've done all this since I was a kid." But instead of having an extended discussion about what it truly means to keep the commandments, Jesus focuses on a specific issue that revealed this man's problem. You see, he lacked one thing. He loved his riches more than he loved God. Which means he broke the first and most important commandment. So there was no need digging into the rest of the commandments that he might have been breaking. Jesus doesn't even list all 10 when he's listing the commandments to this man.
Yeah.
You see, this man valued his wealth over God. And you see, He didn't want to sell everything. He wasn't willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. Entering the kingdom of God requires repentance, and Jesus was trying to help this man understand what repentance entailed for him. To have true life, we have to let go of the worldly things that we think will bring us life. They're just shallow icons. And we have to repent and seek the heart of God. You see, for the rich young ruler, it was money. For you, it might be a job. Working is important. You have to support your family. Okay, I'm not telling you to go quit your job, but I am telling you to prayerfully consider why God has you where you're at and what he's calling you to do. You see, each and every one of you in your places of work, in your classrooms, in your homes, have the opportunity to show more people Jesus and reach more people for God than I will ever have standing right here in front of you. So what are you putting above God that's keeping you from reaching the people that God has strategically put you in their life and them in your life? Y'all, I've worked in dark workplaces where it was really hard to be the only light. And I failed some days. But I'm telling you right now, God puts you in places to be his light. But when you have things that you place above God, it's really hard for that to happen. So what does your billboard say? When people get really close. If you're someone that constantly keeps people at a distance, what are you trying to hide? Because you got to let someone in. Many people die surrounded by their shallow icons and what they think will bring them happiness.
That's good.
So, is your billboard painted for Jesus? Or maybe your billboard really was painted for Jesus, but things have gotten in the way and some things have stacked up on your mantle and it's time to knock those down. For our billboard to be authentic, it must resemble the one who our lifelong goal should be to be like. And you see, I'm not perfect, but I serve a perfect Father. And I mess up and I stumble, but when I stumble, I reach for his hand to help me up. And I do everything I can to push that stumbling block out of my path. And to keep those around me from tripping over that same stumbling block. That's your testimony.
Yeah, that part is so good.
So what is God? I promise you, like working on this sermon, like he's put things in my heart that I've put before him. What is God telling you it's time to let go of? And it's not even always bad things.
Right.
Guys, sometimes we can put our families in front of God, and that's the wrong order, because when you put God first, your home comes together so much better. So putting your family as a priority in your life is never a bad thing until you place it above God. So not all things that have gotten in the way are bad. But it does mean there needs to be some reprioritizing in your life. And so the two main questions that I asked you today is your life in Christ authentic or is it a show? And if it's a show, it's time to take a step. And then the second question is, are there idols in your life? So as I was talking, there are things that came to your mind that God's like, you're putting this before me. I want to give you a chance today to set those things down. To reprioritize your life. So in a minute, we're going to have prayer team available, but I want you, before we get to that, some things that you have to do to be able to really walk this out is one, find an accountability partner. That's somebody that you trust in your life that you can say, hey, I've been putting this before God and I need you to hold me accountable to help me reprioritize. That's not them doing the work for you, but that's them calling you and saying, hey, how are we doing with this? Where's this in your order of priorities right now? Or maybe you have a bad habit that you know the Holy Spirit's been convicting you about giving up. And it's causing rifts in your relationships and it's causing issues in your priorities. It's one thing to have this, man, I just feel convicted right now and I'm ready, you know, to give this up or I'm ready to reprioritize my life. And you come down and you come for prayer, but then guess what? Monday comes. And life gets thrown at you again. And it's really, really easy to fall back into mispriority. And that's why having somebody that is going to hold you accountable is so important. Somebody that's going to check in on you. So you can't just come up for prayer and think, okay, I'm done. Everything's good. And go on with your week, because guess what? The enemy loves to try to trip you up. So worship team, I want y'all to just play for a minute. Okay? And then I want Mr. Jonathan, can you take lights down for me? I want us all to stand. And if you have, you just realize that, man, my walk with God has just been for show. It's not authentic at all. I need to get it right. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you realize that, man, my priorities are out of order and I need to put God first. I need to knock these things that are blocking my billboard that should be pointing people to Jesus. We want to pray with you. If you have a friend here that you feel like could be that accountant, go pray with them. Ask them to pray with you and share with them and have them help hold you accountable. But don't walk out of here today without being one step closer to an authentic relationship with Jesus. Prayer team, if you would go ahead and come to the front. God, I thank you for your challenging word. I thank you for challenging all of us. God, I thank you that even when we mess up, you're right there to help us up, God, and that you are good. And you show us mercy and grace that we're undeserving of. God, I don't want to be like the Israelites. I don't want this to be a show, to ever be empty. God, I want your presence always. So God, stir in our hearts right now. Help us to walk out authentic faith with you. Amen. If you'd like prayer, our prayer team is available up front. If you'd like to pray with someone else, please do. But don't leave here today without taking one step closer to having an authentic walk with Jesus.